Agenda item number one, discussion and possible action on fiscal year ended 2016 and 2015. Comprehensive annual financial report by David Thompson, Chief Financial Officer.
Good morning.
Morning.
Morning. Morning.
Each year I bring to you the comprehensive annual financial report. This report is prepared by my financial staff and audited by our external auditors. Can you hear me okay? Okay. The report itself is as of fiscal year end, August 31st, 2016. During this agenda, I'll discuss the purpose of the CAFR, the highlights of it. I have Mike O'Brien here, the partner in charge, and he'll give his report of the audit. At the end, I'll have a resolution to read to ask for your approval. So let's talk a little bit about the purpose, the highlights, and the report of the auditor. The purpose basically is that this report is a report of our financial statements that are presented fairly in accordance of basically generally accepted accounting principles, government accounting standards, and those are what we report for you on the CAFR. The highlights of the report is that the CAFR is basically a historical document. It looks back at the results of the operations that we had. It's on an accrual basis under generally accepted accounting principles. The annual operating plan, which is our budget, is more a prospective document. This is a plan document that we bring before to you in July of each year that's approved for the next fiscal year. And it is primarily on a cash basis type accounting. Each quarter, I discuss with you basically the budget itself and the variances to that budget and what's happening in that quarter. Also, later on, I'll discuss the little differences between the CAFR and the budget itself. Right now, I'd like to talk to you about there are three major sections of the CAFR. The first is the introduction. This gives you the highlights of the events that happened in 2016, the financial statements themselves, which is the balance sheet, the income statement, and the cash flows, and then the necessary supplement information like disclosures and footnotes that are needed for the financial statements. And then last, the statistics. That gives you kind of an idea of revenue trends, debt capacities, anything else that the financial statements are not providing you. Let's see, back up first here. Let me talk a little bit about the CAFR itself. We basically organize the CAFR under the requirements of GFOA, which is basically Government Finance Officers Association requirements. This is a group that provides guidance for us on how to prepare CAFRs for the public sector. This, in the last 30 years, we have received a prestigious award for a certificate of achievement for excellence in reporting. And I hope to get the same thing for 16 as well. And this is due to the hard work of my financial staff and others who contributed to the CAFR. I will say that in 2016 was kind of a special one. It was based off of Texas wildflowers, and the photographs that were taken in the group was basically by our employees of BRA, and they did a great job. Next, I want to take a look at what is the difference between the CAFR and the budget. The budget, which was approved back in July of 2015, had a $654,000 surplus. It ended up at $10 million, and that $10 million was explained back in October, made up of two key elements, and that is basically $3 million of additional water supply that was not budgeted, and then $6 million of spending, that lower spending by each of the departments. But also in that $10 million, we also sold West Central Brazos Pipeline, which is a major contributor, plus the fact is the Corps of Engineers spendings were lower too. And then basically the last piece is the 14.6, which comes from the CAFR. So the major differences between the two is the depreciation and debt principal payments. Depreciation, as you probably know, is an expense in the CAFR, but in the primary cash basis, it's not used. The depreciation expense is not in the budget. Debt service principal payments basically are recognized as cash, therefore they are treated as expenditures in the budget, but then it's a balance sheet adjustment that's in the CAFR. So the net between the two generates a $4.8 million expense, or expense differences between the two. Then as far as recognition of deferred revenue, under the budget, cash is revenue, but under the CAFR, which is General Accepted Accounting Principles, the revenue is not earned, so therefore it's deferred to a later period. Gain on sale of capital assets was the Possum Kingdom sale back in March of 2016, and it was basically treated as a income item as far as the CAFR is concerned, but under the budget it was not. The last is the GASB 68, which came in effect in 2015. And this deals with actuaries and the calculations around it. And we had a $1.5 million adjustment that we had to make into the CAFR. And then the last is the capital expenditures. And there were, we capitalized items in the CAFR, but under the budget, such as vehicles and stuff, they're treated as expenditures. Next is the 2 years that are presented in the CAFR that you will be approving. And the major differences, as I discussed before, is basically the gain on the capital assets. And with that, I have Michael Bryan here, the partner in charge, and he will give his report of the audit. Let's see.
Thank you, David. Good morning. I last came to the board, I believe, last fall and went over the audit plan and the timeline, and so we've completed that, and we're here to give you the final report on the audit. So David touched on some of these things, but just to remind everyone, what we were engaged by the board to perform a financial statement audit. So we're focusing on the financial statements that David just outlined. Our task is to report whether or not those financial statements are presented fairly in conformity with the generally accepted accounting principles. And since the authority is a government entity, you follow the Governmental Accounting Standards Board, which is separate from the private sector Financial Accounting Standards Board. We do, as David mentioned, his staff does prepare the financial statements, and we purely do the audit. So we're in the highest level of independence from preparation and auditing. Just to make sure everybody understands that, I'm doing the audit, they do the accounting, I'm checking their work. The results of the audit were that, in our opinion, the financial statements are fairly presented, which is what we call an unmodified opinion. There's no modifications on the report. They're fairly presented in conformity with the required accounting principles. When we do an audit, we are looking at the financial statements. We do also test the major internal controls because it's part of the test work we do to report on the audit, but we're not looking to see if the authority is following every procedure or policy they have. We do test the major ones on things like revenue and payroll and cash disbursements. If we were to become aware of something that we, in the auditor speak, we call material weaknesses, which would be material control deficiencies, we're required to report those to the board in writing. And since there is no such written report, that means, there's no serious deficiencies in internal controls. Another potential task of the audit is, the authority does receive some federal and some state funding, and there are state and federal rules, audit regulations that require audits in certain circumstances. Primarily, you have to have received and spent $750,000 in 1 year. Federal awards were much less than that, and state awards were only $572,000. So those compliance type audits were not required in fiscal year 2016. With regard to accounting policies and procedures that drive the information in the financial statements, just to let you know, there were a couple of minor changes in governmental accounting standards this year. One dealing with how you measure fair value on investments, since all your investments are in CDs. That's really not a big issue. It is to some entities. But anyway, all of those The staff follows all the new accounting pronouncements to make sure they made changes as needed. So those two technically were adopted. There weren't any changes. The authority does follow appropriate accounting standards and policies for governmental entities. We work with lots of different governments and are very familiar with those. Just to let the board know, going forward, the Governmental Accounting Standards Board has a full agenda. For the next 5 years, there are going to be many changes, some which will affect the authority, some which won't. Just to let you know, the staff's job continues to get more complex because the accounting standards are evolving and there's getting more and more of them. Some of the main areas we look at during the audit, as we talked to you about last fall, are estimates and all the disclosures. In addition to the numbers David went over, if you look at the CAFR, there's pages and pages of footnotes and explanations and data. We do check all those, make sure they're all the required information is contained therein. The biggest estimate you have is the pension liability. We talked about over the last couple of years. And so that $1.5 million adjustment David pointed out, that's an actuarially computed figure. The auditors don't calculate that. Accounting staff doesn't calculate, the actuaries do. So you're on your balance sheet, you'd see $11.7 million net pension liability, and that's going to be adjusted every year when the actuary calculates it. Just because that's an adjustment to the budget doesn't mean that there's any problems. You just do that calculation once a year. And it's a long-term sort of liability. You're never going to be asked to write a check next month or next year. You continue to pay your pension into the Texas County and District Retirement System under the statutory requirements that they operate under on a cash basis. That's an economic liability that will go away at the point in time, sometime in the future, when there's no more employees that are retired. Which will be a long time from now. Yeah. Some audit process comments. We did receive full and complete cooperation during the course of the audit from staff. Didn't have any disputes or disagreements. There weren't any audit adjustments that we found that were required to be corrected. And the process went fine and on time. The comprehensive annual financial report, David went over this. There is unaudited information in the statistical tables and some other things in there in the CAFR. We do review and read the entire document to make sure we don't see anything in there that's inconsistent with our understanding and the financial statements. And we help make sure that go through the GFOA checklist, make sure we don't see any issues so that the authority can make sure and receive the award. Again, for the 31st year, I believe, is what David mentioned. And this is an above and the beyond. Not every government goes to this level of reporting, so it is a nice thing for you to do. Finally, I do work for the board. Padgett Stroudeman has done the audit for several years. I always provide you my contact information. If you have questions, don't understand something, feel free to contact me if you need to. And finally, just mention, I know there's some new board members. Back in the fall, I mentioned Padgett Stroudeman merged or joined together with RSM US LLP, which is one of the top five accounting firms in the country. So going forward, since the audit was in progress when that happened, Padgett finished the audit. We're still a registered accounting firm, but going forward, we'll basically be dissolving into RSM. And so the next year, I'll be the same person, but with a different firm, RSM. I'm going to stop there and say that completes my report, and I would be happy to answer any questions anyone has. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
David, the sale of assets was the pipeline And was that also the commercial property at PK? What made up that $10.3 million?
It's basically Possum Kingdom and then the West Central Brazos Pipeline. Remember, that is the gain on it. So therefore, the West Central Brazos Pipeline not only had $1.2 million gain or sale of it,
right,
but it also had more expenses than the $1.2 million we sold it for. Okay. So the net of everything just got down to the Possum Kingdom sale of $10.2 million.
Thank you.
You betcha. Before I read the resolution, I want to let everybody know that after we complete the approval of the resolution, we will print the report it up and send it off to TCEQ. But in addition, we also send it to the state auditor's office. We also send it to Texas Water Board, other rating agencies, bond underwriters. And with that, if there's no questions, I'd like to read the resolution, please.
Read your resolution, please.
Be it resolved that the Board of Directors hereby accept the Brazos River Authority's comprehensive annual financial report for fiscal year ended 2016 and 2015 and approves the filing with the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. The Chief Financial Officer is hereby designated to file the report and the annual filing of the affidavit with the Executive Director of the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality.
You've heard a reading of the resolution. Is there a motion to adopt?
I'll make the motion.
Second by Carolyn. Please poll the board.
Presiding Officer Scott?
Yes.
Director Ball?
Yes.
Director Bell?
Yes.
Director Adams?
Yes.
Director Bennis?
Yes.
Director Bowles?
Yes.
Director Christian?
Yes.
Director Grant?
Yes.
Director Huber?
Yes.
Director Johnson?
Yes.
Director Lattimore?
Yes.
Director Lloyd?
Yes.
Director Luton?
Yes.
Director Munson?
Yes.
Director Rankin?
Yes.
Director Smith?
Yes.
Director Tallis?
Yes.
Director Taylor?
Yes.
Director Zaccanina?
Yes.